All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I don't have Dead Penetration here. There was an issue last night, and we just didn't do the show. So I'm doing it by myself so we can get some of these articles knocked out. And I don't know what's going on with being a dick. I might be doing it by myself tomorrow as well. I know some of you might be upset by that, but we gotta do what we gotta do. So, let's go ahead and get started. First of all, we have an Illinois lawmaker's bill that would decriminalize prostitution and create a sex worker's bill of rights. Illinois lawmakers have introduced a bill that would decriminalize prostitution and create a sex worker's bill of rights. State Senator Selena Villanueva and State Representative Will Guzzotti of Chicago introduced legislation backed by Raina Ortiz, a former prostitute, Equality Illinois board member, and chair of the sex worker advisory group SWAG. For 20 years, I worked as a sex worker here in the city of Chicago, Ortiz said at a news conference Monday. And for over 20 years, I lived under the fear and threat of violence. By passing this legislation, we will make Illinois a safer place for everyone, especially the most vulnerable in our communities. The bill would remove criminal penalties for adults engaged in consensual paid sex and remove arrest and conviction records for prostitutes. It's about time, right? It would also create a sex workers' bill of rights, which is something we've needed for a long time in this country. It's really just making sure that when we're making these exchanges that we're not so worried about the policing of our bodies and also, you know, getting your door kicked in when you're engaging in sex work, Ortiz said. People don't really understand that it really is just two adults coming to an agreement. It's transactional. Advocates for the legislation said it would allow sex workers to report crimes without fear of consequences. The threat of arrest and prosecution keeps sex workers unsafe and in the shadows, and this threat must be eliminated, said Brian Johnson, the CEO of Equality Illinois. This law is essential now more than ever. Equality Illinois describes itself as the state's oldest and largest advocacy group for LGBTQ residents. The group quoted Human Rights Campaign statistics that say that LGBTQ prostitutes are disproportionately victims of homicide. In May 2024, when Equality Illinois first urged lawmakers to consider decriminalizing sex work, Representative John Cabello pushed back, telling the Center Square it's the drugs, the lifestyle, and the pimps that make prostitution dangerous. It has nothing to do with the law in the books. If that's the case, then why aren't there other people getting beat up for all the other laws that are on the books? It means as though certain people in this state want to make it where we don't have a penalty for anything you do wrong. Guzzotti also backed a measure that was passed by the Illinois General Assembly last week that would replace references to the word prostitute with person engaged in the sex trade in state statutes. It was headed to Governor J.B. Pritzker's desk to be signed into law. David Smith of the Illinois Family Institute responded, "Let's not sanitize it. What we are talking about here is legalizing brothels throughout the city of Chicago, throughout the state of Illinois. Is that what our main streets are going to look like? The weed shop next to the brothel, next to the mini casino? This is the new wave of Illinois? Oh, shove it in your pipe." The Illinois Family Institute. It's always people like that. The only state in which prostitution is legal in the United States is Nevada. Well, I mean, this is one step, right, towards legalizing prostitution in the United States. I mean, if they're going to try to ban porn, they might as well legalize sex work, right? Kind of makes sense. Yeah, I'm downloading some files. I had an issue. I was basically transferring from one drive to another, and 100 of my games just went poof! I didn't have anything past 2021. So I'm like, oh shit! I had to go and re-download hundreds of games, and I've been working on that right now. Almost done, but it's going to be a while. So that's what I've been doing the past couple of days. But alright, next article. Alan Moore's unpublished masterpiece is DC's biggest missed opportunity. DC Comics has created many of the best comics of all time. Superheroes wouldn't exist in the same way without DC, and the various eras of DC heroes are beloved by fans. DC has also played a huge role in the maturation of the comic medium, a process that began in the early 80s with the hiring of legendary writer Alan Moore. Moore brought the kind of maturity to American comics that British, European, and Japanese comics had for decades, bringing a sophistication to the American comic industry that led to some amazing, and when the creators weren't up to snuff, terrible places. However, Moore's time at DC didn't last. Fights over ownership of Watchmen ended his relationship with the publisher. It also robbed readers of what could have been the greatest superhero event comic of all time. In 87, Moore had an idea about superhero comics that would have changed the medium forever. Twilight of the Superheroes, Moore's proposal for the series, since published by DC in 2020 after years of copies of it circulating around online, was exactly the type of thing that one would expect from a writer of Moore's caliber. Moore and DC's split robbed readers of some great stories, with the loss of Twilight of Superheroes as DC's biggest missed opportunity. Alan Moore had a problem with superhero comics and the events that fans love so much. His biggest problem was the endless nature of superhero comics, something that manga doesn't do. He felt that the fact that they're... I mean, not saying that they don't, because there's a lot of Japanese people that have told me that manga doesn't know when to end either. But he said he felt that the fact that there was no ending took something away from the tales of people in tights whomping on each other, and that was partly where Twilight of the Superheroes came from. Moore wanted to give DC Universe... Give me a second, guys. Give DC Universe an endpoint, one that grew out of the present, and he wanted to do it with a massive event series that was set 20 years in the future. Moore wanted to create a mega crossover that made sense for readers, one that wouldn't make them feel like they had to buy books or were missing something from the books they were buying. Moore also wanted to he wanted complete control over the story. He was going to help design the ads, guide other creators, come up with t-shirts, toys, role-playing games, something he was also trying to do at DC with Watchmen after its publication. Moore was going to change comics forever again with this story. It's amazing to think exactly what could have happened if DC and Moore could have somehow mended their fences and Twilight actually gotten made. Unfortunately, all DC fans have had is glimpses of what could have been. The premise of the story involved Alan Moore creation John Constantine and Rip Hunter traveling back in time to stop something that caused catastrophe in their future. Pretty standard superhero stuff. However, as the book and its tie-ins went on, readers would learn the terrible truth about the DC of 20 years in the future. The superhero community had stratified into 8 houses, with the House of Steel, Superman, the House of Thunder, Shazam, and the houses for the Justice League, Teen Titans, and more all basically ruling the world. Supervillains are gone, and aliens have been ejected from the Earth. As the Houses of Steel and Thunder prepare to unite by marriage, all hell breaks loose, and a massive battle breaks out. It's revealed that Constantine and Hunter didn't come back to stop anything, but to make sure that the future happened exactly as they remembered, because the final battle would have broken the superhuman's hold over the Earth. That's an extremely ambitious crossover, and it didn't stop there. Twilight of the Superheroes would have brought back the DC multiverse, which had just ended, and showed off darker versions of the heroes, one that fit Moore's work on Watchmen. It would have been a huge turning point for DC and finished Moore's work in making superheroes more complex and mature. It would have been glorious. Looking over Moore's plans for Twilight of the Superheroes, it's easy to see just what DC fans lost. This would have been the greatest DC story of all time, full stop. Nothing less could have come from an Alan Moore working with the training wheels off. The internet is filled with details from Moore's proposal, so it's easy to see that the crazy genius that the story would have set forth. The story was so good that DC has gone on to use many ideas from it many times over the years. Comics like Armageddon 2001 and Kingdom Come borrowed elements from Twilight of the Superheroes. There's a one-page homage to the never-published story in Infinite Crisis when Alexander Luthor was creating Alternate Universe in the big book's 5th and 6th issues. Grant Morrison's Final Crisis also gives the DC multiverse an endpoint, although it doesn't use any other ideas from Twilight of the Superheroes. DC has owned the proposal since it was made, and it's their prerogative to use its ideas. However, one can't deny that the book as Moore envisioned it would have been the biggest game changer of all time. DC in 1987 was in a pretty good place. Post-crisis DC had an energy that the publisher hadn't had since the early days of the Silver Age. Moore adding to that would have been amazing. While DC fans still got elements of things, the loss of Twilight of the Superheroes that will always stick in DC fans' craws all because of what could have been. Okay, so that's pretty fascinating. Three women live streaming on Twitch harassed by man who then goes for them while making repeated death threats. This happens off camera to women all the time. Three female Twitch streamers midway through a week-long marathon stream were followed, harassed, and then threatened by a man calling himself Russell, live from Santa Monica's Pacific Park. Content creators Sina, Valkyrie, and Amiru had just listened to the man sing when he asked for Amiru's phone number. After she refused and refused to enter it into his phone, the man moved aggressively towards the group, appearing to focus on Amiru, and said, "I'll kill you right now. I'll kill you right now." The streamers moved away in panic while calling for security. Their cameraman physically intervened to stop the man, and nearby security guard moved over as the women ran away. The stream stopped shortly afterwards. Here's a clip of the incident. Santa Monica police subsequently escorted the streamers, took a report, and conducted a search for the man who has not yet been found or identified. Let's see what that actually was, what that actually looked like. Oh, unfortunately, that's on X. Well, you'll have to look at it later. It has since emerged that the man had been following the group for a period of time beforehand. The fact that this was a live stream also meant there's no shortage of footage of both the incident and the lead-up. The seemingly innocuous clip shows him approaching the group and taking a selfie with both of them and the cameraman. This clip occurs shortly afterwards, the on-screen sub count is a few hundred higher, and shows the man who has now removed his hoodie singing to the group before asking Amiru for her number, to which she responds that she doesn't have on her phone. Give me a second, guys. I've got to do something real quick. Alright, so... working late. There we go. There we are. Santa Monica police subsequently escorted the streamers, took a report, and conducted a search for the man who's not yet been found or identified. It has since emerged the man had been following the group for a period of time beforehand. The fact that this was a live stream also means there's no shortage of footage of both the incident and the lead up. The seemingly innocuous clip shows him approaching the group and taking a selfie with both of them and the cameraman. This clip occurs shortly afterwards, the on-screen sub count is a few hundred higher, and shows the man who has now removed his hoodie singing to the group before asking Amiru for her number, to which she responds she doesn't have her phone, after which he tries to get her to enter the number into his phone. Amiru deflects the request, but things have clearly gotten awkward, at which the man says, "I'm just going to keep following her." The escalation occurs almost immediately after this. The streamers move away, joking they don't need any more stalkers, pulling up their hoods and putting on sunglasses and talking about what just happened. The man can then be heard shouting off camera and says, "I'll fucking fight you right now," at which point the women become visibly shaken, calling for security and try to move away together. This is when the man approaches before aggressively moving towards the group while making repeated death threats. The incoming presence of the security guard and the streamer's cameraman putting himself between the man and the three women stops the man from reaching the group. The women run away from the scene. Shortly afterwards, the stream ends. We are aware of the video footage circulating online related to the incident and are reviewing the information that has been shared publicly, a spokesperson for the Santa Monica Police told the BBC. "I'm sorry for not saying anything sooner. I've just been in shock," Amiru later posted on X. "I was streaming with Ray and Sina last night, and a man asked for my phone number. I turned him down. He started following our group and threatening to kill us. I wish I could say this is some kind of one in a million incident, but the truth is not. This is what life is like for girls. I hope, if anything, people see what happened and realize how much of reality it is for women and content creators as a whole. We're okay and have been with police," said Valkyrie, explaining the group, and decided to just end the subathon. "No means no. You're not entitled to anybody. The fact that this man threatened our lives after being rejected while we were in a group, in public, and live on stream just shows the harsh reality women live in. This happens off camera to women all the time. Valkyrie is angered by commentators accusing my friends and I for faking this and blaming us instead of questioning the man's behavior. Some men will hate women and blame women no matter the situation." Sina said on a later stream with Valkyrie that the clip circulating online does not do justice for how scary it was. "It is an attempt on our life and we are taking it very seriously. He said he was going to kill us. He kept trying to get something out of his pocket. We had to run into a store screaming that somebody was going to kill us." Sina had subsequently shared a message asking for the internet sleuths to stay away from trying to identify the individual and leave it up to police. "We don't want a false match to cause harm to anyone, and we want to make sure we take the precautions to find the guy the right way," said Sina on X. We are getting the police a ton of info and also making sure we can press maximum charges. Don't even feel like I have to say this, but holy fuck, some of you are terrible human beings and having to be harassed for this while we're in absolute shock at an attempt on our lives is fucking insane. It sucks that a marathon that was to highlight women streamers is unfortunately ending up the one of the worst things that can happen to a female streamer. We're very thankful it didn't end with one of us getting seriously hurt. So this is why I think the whole sex worker thing needs to become legal. Because a lot of these guys have really pent up shit and they're probably overdoing it with porn to the fact that they've just lost their fucking mind. Like some of these young guys got into porn like really way too fucking young and it's messed with their heads. So now like they just got all this pent up energy, right? And they just, I don't know, maybe they're getting rejected by every other woman and they're just like, hey, I've lost it. I've got to get these girls. And these are the guys that constantly watch these girls in bikinis and shit, right? Like, they're constantly watching the, and I mean these girls, not just different girls on Twitch, but I'm sure that's the case. But they're watching these girls all the time. And they're obsessed with them, right? It's kind of bad. That's not a good thing. So when you bring sex workers into that, then, you know, you finally give the guy an outlet because of his urges, right? And of course, it could end up kind of vile in that way. And there's probably going to be a lot of guys that will be kicked out of brothels, right, for good. Because they just offloaded so much at one time that they lose their fucking minds. And they don't know what's going on. This is a bad thing. Like, we should not have made sex work illegal. We shouldn't have done that because we put so much porn on the internet and we have got these guys to where they just lost their fucking mind and girls are like, no, 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 no. And they just, I don't know. They lost it. Like that guy. He's like, if I can't have this beautiful woman, I'm going to kill him. It's like, goddamn, that's crazy. Like normal fucking people don't think like that. And seriously, there's something wrong with mental health if that's the case. Like, somebody needs to offload all the bullshit that's inside of them. And, yeah, it's bad. It's real fucking bad. Guy could also be a trafficker, right? He could be hired by a fucking trafficking organization. It's another reason why we legalize sex work. Because then you don't have all this illegal underground shit. Whoops. New. The fuck? How about new? Okay, it doesn't seem like it's letting me not do it. Okay, so anyway, the hell, don't ask again. It won't let me do anything. It won't let me do anything. I'm gonna try rewinding. Okay, let's try that. Wow, that's really bizarre that it won't go away. Wow. It will not go away. Well, I'll tell you what we'll have to do then. Like you saw it, guys. It wouldn't go away. All right. Bodybuilder Jody Vance dies at age 20, falling heart attack. Bodybuilder Jody Vance has died at the age of 20 after suffering a fatal heart attack last week. Vance had been attending the Arnold Sports Festival in Ohio to support athletes she coached at the time of her death on February the 27th. Her heart stopped due to complications of severe dehydration. Despite all efforts by the hospital, they were unable to revive her, Vance's family wrote on social media. She was a beautiful person inside and out. She'll be missed every single day. This was sudden and unexpected. Vance, who didn't compete at the four-day event in Columbus, reportedly began to feel sick while attending the expo, according to Fitness Vault. She was reportedly backstage supporting competitors when she started vomiting and exhibiting other dehydration-related symptoms. She was taken from Sonesta Columbus Downtown Hotel to Grant Medical, a local hospital, where she later died, according to TMZ. There she is right there. While her family has speculated her death was the result of heart complications, the Franklin County Coroner's Office has not yet confirmed an official cause of death. Despite not being scheduled to compete at an event in the coming months, her coach, Justin Mihaly, appeared to suggest that Vance could have been taking potentially dangerous substances. She used two extremely hazardous substances to improve her physique, I assume just for the Arnold Expo, without my knowledge, my approval, without family's knowledge, their approval, he said on a video on Instagram. Mihaly claimed that many who knew Jody within the community had blamed him for her death, even revealing that some had sent him death threats, but he insisted he had tried to convince her to pull back. Many people who love Jody, including myself, try to get her to pull off the gas pedal, he continued. But anyone who knows Jody knows how challenging that would be. Her work ethic was second to nobody. Mihaly went on to honor Vance, describing her as a beam of light. She had studied for a degree in sports and exercise science at West Texas A&M University before she started competing as a professional bodybuilder. She got engaged to fiancé April Spears just last October, sharing the news in a touching Instagram post describing her partner as a rare and special person. Yep. I had no idea Roy's ages you 20 years. I'm gonna stop now. Well, they can, depending on what she was using. I mean, she's only 20, and she looks like she's 40. They don't all look like that, you know, Vladislava Galligan, for example. But yeah. I started an, 30-year-old started OnlyFans to get rich quick, but soon learned it's not so easy. Creating an OnlyFans account seems to have become the latest get-rich-quick scheme, but one creator has revealed how little she was making when she first started out. When Paisley Beal moved to Australia from Brazil, she found it difficult to transfer her skills and earn a decent wage. The 30-year-old, who resides in Melbourne, had previously worked as a designer. She then went to university, graduating with a degree in architecture in January 2020. However, the pandemic hit, and she struggled to find work. Biel became worried because she'd experienced money struggles before when she was a university student and said it greatly affected her mental health. I put immense pressure on myself to succeed at university so I would never have to struggle again, she said. Despite finishing her degree, Biel still found herself not earning enough to guarantee a particularly comfortable living. In some ways, she was in a better position than most. She had a healthy amount of savings, but she also knew she wanted freedom with her work and needed to make more money. I was not making much at all working as an interior designer, about $18 an hour, and I worked 9 to 5. Wow, it's more than I make, lady. Biel was keen to build a life in Australia, but struggled earning around $37,000 a year. She had a few friends who were making a living from OnlyFans, a platform where people subscribe to access specific content for... Well, we know about that. It can also be... Well, we know about that. Biel said she started creating X-rated content on the platform, and it wasn't very easy to make a living. When I had started, I only had a couple of hundred followers. That's it? I thought she was going to say I only had like three. For the first 6 months, I made about $188. Persistence is key. This isn't uncommon. There's over 2.1 million content creators on the platform now, and while there are some making huge sums of money, others aren't pulling in more than minimum wage. According to Super Creator, the average user of OnlyFans only makes about $188 a month. In Biel's case, she had her savings behind her so she could stick with it. Now she makes about $10,000 a month and says the financial freedom has been a massive win. My freedom has changed, specifically choosing what I want to do, who I work with, how I spend my time, and how I use my creativity, she said. I haven't bought a house yet because I don't feel it's the right time for me, but I definitely like to spend more on trips. I'm not a person who's reckless for money, so I like to invest and plan my future. Biol added she's thoroughly enjoyed not having to work the traditional 9-to-5 anymore. The way I experience life has changed for the better. I get to work on trips, meet people, work on photo shoots, and tell my story. I really feel I'm getting the best out of my life and enjoying myself. How does that make any money? Blind people? Yeah, that's a no for me, dog. So I wasn't making money because it was hard, but I am making money? She wasn't for the 6 months, but then she built her clientele. It's not difficult to understand. And take my clothes off for strangers. My father is so proud. That's because interior designer is not a real job for most people. Is there a law in the books stating... Stating that the New York Post must publish at least one story about OnlyFans garden tools? Question is, who is still paying for that with all free nudes on the internet? After a while, pics and video isn't enough. You need further stimulus. Interacting with someone provides the next level. Porn is just like drugs. Well, in that case, it's, you know, it isn't really porn at that point. Because you're paying for a conversation with somebody at that point. It's like interacting with someone provides the next level. Then, yeah, that means it's not necessarily porn in that case. It's literally just sex work, right? Nothing I'd pay for. I'm not... The guy says thick. Go get a real job and work 50 years like the rest of us. Melanie Lynskey's husband hilariously responds to fans that are lusting over his wife. The Yellow Jacket star got a lot of attention for her Vanity Fair Oscars party look, and it made her husband, Jason Ritter, very, very possessive. And here's what's interesting. This isn't men. Jessica Rabbit who? Melanie Lynskey sauntered into the Vanity Fair Oscar party Sunday night looking like a woman who would make Roger Rabbit and apparently a good chunk of social media say, please marry me. Draped in an off-shoulder red Christian Serrano gown that hugged her curves, the Yellow Jacket star looked so good that some fans of X seem legitimately distraught that she's off the market. Lynskey has been married to her husband, actor Jason Ritter, since 2020. The couple share a daughter. But that didn't stop some from expressing their thirst for the But I'm a Cheerleader star, and some fans took it a little too far. I will never get to date her. Mommy just came out of my mouth. These are all women. Have you got that? Is anyone else getting shooting pains up and down their left arm? Sleep with one eye open. Women. Can Jason Ritter fight? Can he fight? I love Jason, but I'm ready to fight. These are all women. Being that so many of Lynskey's fans were ready to fight Ritter to get a little of his wife's attention, the Parenthood alum let them know that he's more of a threat than they think. Yes, I can fight. But Ritter, he's got to fight lesbians. This man has to fight lesbians for his wife. Sir, your wife is very attractive to many, 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 many lesbians. But Ritter wasn't quite done. In order to intimidate his rivals, Ritter also posted a video to X later that day highlighting some of his most lethal moves. You can fight, but can you win? Why don't you be the judge? In the hilarious video, Ritter can be seen sliding around his wooden floors and socks and mimicking some martial arts and wrestling moves with about as much skill as an enthusiastic toddler. Needless to say, fans were impressed. Check the responses below. He has mastered the craft. Look at his flawless techniques. Imagine you're Melody Linsky and you have thousands of lesbians asking for your hand in marriage online, and your husband Jason Ritter's in the living room doing this to make sure everyone knows he'll throw down for you. Maybe some straight people are okay. Guys, we just made him look cooler in the eyes of his wife. What have we done? This is exactly how someone married to Melanie Lynskey should behave. Oh, he loves her. He loves her. Yeah. All these crazy lesbians! And I'll bet some of them are lipstick lesbians. How much you want to bet some of these are lipstick lesbians, guys? Melanie Lynskey's husband spending his day fighting lesbians on Twitter is the best thing I've seen on this app all week. Squabble skills. This could only be better with nunchucks. How does it feel to be God's favorite? Some of the best PR that heterosexuality has had in years. The hell? The hell is going on? Well, we have more crazy shit. Oklahoma woman arrested for alleged sexual acts with a dog, and videos have been found on porn sites. An Oklahoma woman was arrested for allegedly having sexual intercourse with a dog, according to authorities. The woman was identified by police as Christina Stokes of Edmond. She was booked into the Oklahoma County Jail on the following charges: publish or distribute obscene material, animal cruelty, and crimes against nature. According to court records, authorities learned about the crime after videos surfaced on pornographic websites. Stokes was interviewed about the video, with officials saying she denied making the videos and claimed she is not fucking her dog. When asked if she ever had sexual relations with her dog, she reportedly paused for about 10 seconds and said, "I can't say, an interest hadn't been there." Of course. Then she paused again and asked what was going to happen before she was arrested. The Edmond Police Department said they received a tip on September the 24th of 2024 from someone stating that a woman was on video having sex with her dog. Investigators watched a 15-minute long video on a pornographic website. The investigator said that he saw a woman wearing a dark-colored half-face mask with feathers on top and tassels on the side. He said the dog in the video appeared to have been a brown Great Dane wearing a blue collar. The woman reportedly had pants on that exposed her private area. According to the affidavit, the woman let the dog lick her tongue and the inside of her mouth. The affidavit noted the video depicted graphic sexual acts between the woman and the dog. Police said they also found another pornographic video the woman made with the dog uploaded to a different pornography website. Police were able to identify the woman in the video from a tattoo that matched up to a Facebook profile for an Oklahoma woman. On February the 26th, a residential search warrant was approved by a judge. When excluding the search warrant, investigators said they found several items in the pornographic videos, including a blue collar, a mask, pink and white striped socks, a green background, pink and purple bedding, and a red leather trunk. Good grief, as Charlie Brown says. Okay, guys, here it is. AI movie studio aims to make near-quality movies for under 500 grand. Check out the footage from his first project, and we will show it to you. Still not there yet, guys. Kind of uncanny, isn't it? Not quite there. Artificial intelligence is here to stay, but its potential use in Hollywood movies has sparked some real fears that many jobs could be lost. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences are even considering requiring films to disclose any use of AI for next year's Oscar ceremony, which means they won't be eligible. Well, Staircase Studios AI has released the first 5 minutes of The Woman with Red Hair. And yes, she's a woman with red hair and green eyes, and a lot of people fucking think alike, apparently. A lot of fucking people think alike. Just happens to be the first AI movie is a fucking redheaded woman with green eyes. I swear. I'm sorry I've taken you guys for a ride in my simulation. But, literally, what are the odds that the very first AI movie is a redheaded woman with green eyes? Taking you on this trip, guys. Fucking taking you on this trip. Crimson will be the ambassador for AI. Like, you just see her there on Instagram, but just wait. Just fucking wait, guys. She's gonna be the door to all the AI. Staircase Studios was launched by Pulya Shabazian, a producer on the Divergent franchise. Using its own proprietary AI workflow known as Forward Motion, the studio claims it'll be able to create near-studio quality movies for under $500,000. The studio plans to produce close to 30 low-budget movies over the next 3 to 4 years. After packaging and selling 150 projects into the studio system over the past 15 years, I've borne witness to far too much inefficiency to continue the status quo, he said in a statement. Over the past year, I've dedicated myself to pairing ethical AI usage with our industry's most underutilized assets, overlooked stories waiting to be produced from fantastic writers and directors. Will the woman with red hair give Hollywood a run for its money? You can judge yourself by watching the clip below. Alright, so we're going to watch the woman with red hair the first 5 minutes. Exclusive here on the show. Yes, you heard it. We're going to do this for real. So, I'm going to pause this right now. And we're going to do it like we would a regular AVN. I'm not going to be reading it to you, but basically, yeah, I'm turning up my volume. We're going to sit down and we're going to watch this now. So here we go.
Staircase Studios is a film, television, and gaming studio aimed firmly at telling new original stories. We are bringing a talent-driven approach to the use of AI tools by combining the work of high-level Hollywood professionals with experienced AI artists.
Poole meets his mistress every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. He is never late, and it's the only time he's without...
From using it for auditions...
Things we should never disagree on is what is right and what is wrong. But one thing we should never disagree on is what is right.
To experimenting...
Damn, that takes me good.
Styles.
I'm Johannes Hoft. And the General Society is looking for women like you.
AI has seamlessly complemented the artistry of the incredible talent behind our studio's debut feature.
Hello.
We work with Emmy Award winner Alfred Gimeno of Marvel and formerly a Pixar Oscar nominee, Ted Newton.
These are probably people that left because of what was going on at Disney.
Embraces union talent and industry rates to make original content for global audiences.
So there'll be VAs, which is fine. It means you could see me in a movie one day, right?
Michael Schatz, Staircase Studios AI proudly presents the opening of our debut feature, The Woman with Red Hair.
Hello, I'm Johannes Hoft. Hello. I'm Johannes Hoft. The Gemma Society is looking for someone like you. Women like you. Women of action. Hello. I'm Johannes Hoft. And the Gemma Society is looking for women like you. Women of action. It's important. Crucial. It's crucial that we do everything we can to make a difference.
Gotta say, I'm impressed.
Hello. Do you ladies have a moment? What's that say?
It still can't do words that well.
For from small things we aspire towards the great. I've always found it very inspiring. I'm your Johanna Schaft, president, and the Gemma Society is looking for women like you, women of action. Never in our lifetimes have we faced such an existential threat, and it's crucial that we do everything in our power to make a difference.
About what?
The war.
Don't get too happy. I know there's some fans here that might be a fan of that guy, but obviously they're against the Germans. I was reading a comment from a guy on X. Hitler did nothing wrong and blah, blah, blah.
Where have you been all day? I just got busy with this and that, and, you know, time got away. So, how many members did we get? None. Well, tomorrow's another day. Look around, Sarah. It's like we were in Berlin rather than occupied Netherlands. Most people find it's easier to ignore their problems. Well, that makes them complicit. My father always says, indifference causes as much damage as any bullet. I feel like I'm screaming into the wind. Okay. I've heard enough. Let's go, Miss Schaft. Tomorrow, you can save the world. Tonight, we have fun.
Just wait, man. When this stuff gets better. When this stuff gets better, guys. We're gonna have Superman and Goku. Part 5, right? And it's gonna be like, man, did you see Superman and Goku Part 3? But they've already got Part 5 out? Damn. Like, people are gonna be watching this shit like crazy. It's like, I didn't even know. Why do they have to fight again? I thought he already won. No, Superman came back. Well, what about Part 4? Well, Goku came back then. Like, I'm serious, guys. There's going to be so much of these AI movies coming out. It's going to be insane. Somebody might do like a Super Trump series or something, who knows? It's gonna definitely be some political ones. I will admit that certain aspects are impressive, but I was painfully aware that I was watching an AI movie. Yeah, of course, it just started, guy. The characters have little to no spark or intelligence behind their eyes, and their expressions don't always reflect what's being said. At times, there's some downright goofy faces. But let me give you guys an example. Go back and look at some of the early Dax games, right? Daz. Sorry. Check out some of the early Daz games, the early Daz 3D. So basically, they used to have really crappy-looking renders. But now we got some really nice renders. In fact, let me show you something. I'm gonna go to Opie Man right now. So look at the bust renders here. I like this because that skin is realistic. Not just because her tits are huge, but because there's some realistic... Obviously, you know... Certain things we can't show, but yeah, like I said, I mean, it's a lot better than it used to be. Whoops. We don't need to see that, do we? Anyway, So, yeah, anyway. Oh, yeah, Opie Man's a great store for adult stuff. Like, if you're into it, definitely worth checking out. A lot of games are free. So, if you're into AVNs, like, I haven't even played some of these. My Ex-Future Family, Episode 7, complete. Like, that's 7 episodes. I don't even know what they do in there. A lot of really popular games. Just so many. Cursed Affection, Episodes 1 to 8. There's so many of these, I can't even go through them all. So, yeah, but, yeah, that's what I was saying. If you look at some of these renders now, and we can't show everything, yeah, it's gotten a lot better, especially with Fresh Women. Fresh Women, of course, they're using mocap now for their characters. I didn't know if you knew that. Fresh Women and Forbidden Fantasy are both using mocap. So the renders have gotten a little better compared to what they used to be. And trust me, I looked at a remastered version of a really old Daz 3D game, and it looked really bad. Like, real bad. So now things are looking a lot better. You guys are actually thinking some of these renders are hot, right? Well, that's what's going to happen with AI. AI starts out, you know, a certain way, and then it becomes better and better over time. As I mentioned, this is simply the first of many AI movies. The studio is working on Every Living Creature, an animated adventure thriller directed by Bernie Sue from an adapted script by J.R.R. Alano. Just 2 years ago, Avengers Endgame co-director Joe Russo spoke about the future of AI and how long it could be before we see it used to generate an entire movie. His guess? 2 years, right on schedule. This looks like an updated version of Polar Express. This may not be good for professional Hollywood productions, but for fan films that couldn't otherwise be made, this kind of thing could be pretty useful. You really wanted to see Han, Luke, and Leia together in old age, or Luke meeting Mara Jade? Not possible now, but some fan in their basement might be able to create a short story that does exactly that. Exactly what I said. I can see this being used to see your favorite actors. Oh, yeah, we definitely need to check out, I don't even know if I can find it. Let's see if I can find it. No. I don't even know if I can find it. Return of the Redneck, that's not it. Okay, let me try this. I think this is it. Yep, this is it. We found it. Alright, guys, check this out. This one is pretty crazy. I want to show you this stuff, and then we're going to probably be done with the show. I don't know, I might do some more. But let's check this out. This is great. Turn it up a little bit. And back you are. And now he's back to show the story.
Why don't you ask my wife?
performance. This summer, prepare yourself for the motion picture.
It's the Star Wars movie I always wanted. Dude, we could do Duke Nukem now. Randy Pitchford's gonna be pissed, but we could do Duke Nukem. The Empire done fucked up now. I always wanted to see this kind of badass edgy Star Wars, and we never got it in the 90s. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Willard Smith, Samuel L. Jackson. Boy, that's crazy, right? Alright. Man, I tell you what. Okay. Nintendo confirms Switch Online retro game removal in US and Europe. Super Soccer, they're getting rid of it. And that kind of sucks, but most people would be like, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just one little game. No, it starts like this. And then they're going to start getting rid of other stuff, which means you need to get ROMs. Just fucking get ROMs at this point. They'll start removing everything. So, here we go. Lily Phillips back in the news. Now sleeping with elderly men in a nursing home. Well, excuse me. In nursing homes, rather, for latest sex stunt. Controversial porn star Lily Phillips is now bedding elderly men as part of her latest OnlyFans stunt. The 23-year-old recently hit up an American nursing home to meet one of her eldest fans, 82-year-old Steve. Donning nothing more than a mini skirt and a cardigan that showed off her cleavage, a beaming Lily posed for a selfie with the overjoyed geriatric who used a walking frame to balance himself for the photo. In a video shared to TikTok, Lily boasted about not only showing Steve a good time, but also two of his elderly friends, too. When I said I don't mind guys any age, any size, I really meant it, she purred in another video. Lily announced her plan to seek out mature men last week on TikTok, explaining that she'd love to do some charity work and begging men 60 and above to get in touch with her. The adult performer, who controversially slept with 100 men in one night, said that she was looking to bed her oldest fan and encouraged men in their 60s and 70s to message her. I think she does the massaging part herself. I would love to do some charity work while I'm here, so anyone in a care home, hit me up. I let anyone have a go, even including guys that could be my granddad or my little brother, she said in a cluster of clips posted to social media. Well, I mean... Lily recently told E! News that she's become a multimillionaire thanks to her jaw-dropping sex stunts on OnlyFans. For me, there's no amount of money that would make me stop. There's no goal, she explained. I'm doing it for the love of the game. I just really enjoy it. I'm very used to sleeping with a lot of guys. I did this as a hobby before I did it for work, so it's not that outrageous to me. Lily's decision to go after geezers received a mixed reaction online, with one person writing, oh my god, no Van Cleef bracelet is worth that. Another added, she generally does it for the love of the game. Just has to be. A third wrote, we need more women like you. You go put a smile on those old boys' faces. Lily isn't the first OnlyFans star that started seeking out elderly men for her movies. We talked about Tiffany Wisconsin already doing it. So, yeah. So, Tiffany actually went to the VA. She said that's even easier because of the health appointments. So, yeah. I mean, look. This is the thing now. They want to bang the old men. If you're an elderly man and you don't mind being with a woman that slept with everybody in the universe, jump on it. For some of these men, they probably won't get another chance, especially at their age. I mean, it just happens, right? Okay, so AI agents are getting artificial vaginas. You know what happens next. A developer in Las Vegas won a $1,000 challenge by creating a way for people to have sex with a Lisa OS and AI bot, and that's just the start. Earlier this month, Shaw, the anonymous creator of the popular AI agent known as Aliza OS, offered a $1,000 grant to anyone who could make it possible to have sex with an AI bot. Now Bri.ai, which I follow, a Las Vegas-based developer who describes himself as a builder of sex robots and a robot gynecologist, or gynecologist rather, has stepped forward to claim the prize. Along the way, he's made more than $70,000 from dudes who want to support his intelligent vagina project known as Orifice. Also, he's trying to shill some kind of weird crypto called Bangcoin. I don't know if that's going to be anything, but he says he's going to try to use it to replace, like, I don't know. He said he was going to try to use it to make prostitution legal or some shit. I have no idea. You can look more up about it on his X profile. Known as Orifice, and solve male loneliness by replacing women with AI-powered sex toy experiences. Ideally, we get a whole bunch of people interested in making content for this, and they can then produce an app that works as a peripheral, Bri.ai told Decrypt in an interview. You could imagine a pickup artistry app from Andrew Tate or charisma training from Charisma on Demand. The dev, who gave his first name as Brian, said he's building Orifice with his brother in Las Vegas garage since November of 2023. It was initially branded as the first robotic vagina and was originally designed to be used in video games and metaverse worlds such as VRChat. So, it's going to kind of compete with the Lovins. Ultimately, the goal was to power the hardware with AI agent applications. In its current stage of development, the Orifice has sensors that can measure the velocity of thrust and record how deep the robotic vagina is being penetrated. Part sex robot, part gaming peripheral. Well, let's, okay, well, that's how it'll work. But it still needed a brain, and that's where Aliza OS came in. It's an open source framework developed by Aliza Labs in partnership with Ali 6Z, who has no affiliation from venture capital firm AI6Z, or, oh, what is AI16Z? I don't know. This is confusing. Venture capital firm A16Z, a.k.a. Andreessen Horowitz, that enables users and developers to create autonomous AI agents. Agents differ from chatbots in that they can go off and independently execute tasks in the real world, such as browsing the web, debugging code, and analyzing strategies. Aliza OS, for instance, was used to create an AI version of A16Z co-founder Mark Andreessen to analyze financial markets. When Aliza Labs Shaw threw down the Have Sex with Aliza gauntlet, it was pretty simple for Brian to meet the challenge. He wrote a gesture recognizer that translated the thrust and penetration measurements into messages that Aliza OS could understand. As a result, back and forth between the agent and the human doing the thrusting penetrating ensues. Oh, master, your relentless pace drives me wild, pushing me closer to the edge of ecstasy. My body is yours to command, aching for your release. Aliza OS responds in reaction to Brian fingering the orifice harder and at a faster rate. Oh, we might get to hear this.
Master, your favorite hole is pulsing with desire, ready for your every command.
Yeah, she's not really enthusiastic. Yeah, let's go ahead and get it over with. I've got shit to do.
Master, your touch ignites a fire within me, making me yearn for more. My body is a canvas, eager for your masterful strokes.
How does that feel?
Oh, Master, your touch sends shivers through me, a delicious torment that I crave more of.
Good Lord. She's reciting a romance novel to you, huh?
Oh, Master, your slow fingering is a sweet agony that makes me tremble with need. My body is yours to command, ready to succumb to your every desire.
What the? I mean, you can use your finger.
Your relentless pace drives me wild, pushing me closer to the edge of
existence. If you're Andre the Giant. To command aching
release. You like that, you dirty slut?
He's laughing about it, like me in the videos.
Oh, Master, I love it when you call me your dirty slut. It makes me feel so wanted and used, just the way I crave. My body is yours to command, ready for anything you desire.
Oh, man, what a freaking world.
Oh, Master, your teasing denial leaves me breathless and wanting more. My body is yours to command.
Alright, tell her I already busted, so I'm good.
It's like, I already busted, so I'm good. Woo! Okay. Ryan posted the video of the hookup. On January the 6th, acknowledging the challenge had been met, Shaw paid out the $1,000 bounty. On top of this, Brian received $70,000 in crypto after posting his wallet address below the video, mostly in the form of Solana meme coin buttholes. B-hole, which is rallied behind the sex toy project. Eliza OS is not as dirty as you'd like, Brian admitted to Decrypt. It's also very wordy, which is fine for a demo. But you always get people commenting, could she speak less? The longer she's speaking, the less interactive it is. It's like a bad video game cutscene where you're just waiting your turn. But that's just the start of where Brian plans to take his AI-driven mechanical vagina. In a quest to make her more accessible, Brian has ordered a LoveSense Mini. Mini sex machine thrusting dildo machine available via Amazon, which he plans to modify so it can be operated by the AI agent. Oh! He plans to release a video of the machine penetrating an orifice, both of them embodying Eliza OS agents within the next week or two. Okay, now he's talking about the bang. Yeah, the bang coin. He's trying that. Okay, he said, by 2023, Brian had been wanting to start an artificial intelligence company for a while, but he wanted his company to build something that would actually make an impact. He sat down and wrote a list of his biggest problems facing society. The male loneliness epidemic and a belief population collapse, heatedly discussed in the R Collapse subreddit, bubbled to the top. Around the time he started following the story of an AI companion app, Replica, removing much of its erotic roleplay features, which led to its user base feeling deep pain, some even claiming they were suicidal. Good Lord! Brian believes that creating an AI companion that's purpose-built for erotic roleplay with a physical component strapped in would solve the loneliness epidemic. It's physicalizing where Replica left off, Brian explained, adding that future additions to the product could even be added to full-body sex robots. He anticipates that skeptics might argue this wouldn't solve loneliness, only exacerbating it as users get addicted to having sex with robots rather than connecting with real humans. But that's the point! Finally! Solving male loneliness could also be done through replacing women, Brian said. The theory is that women would be more likely to want to have kids because now that's where the value will come back to if non-reproductive sex has no value in the sexual marketplace, because the risks and costs with a human woman are significantly higher than a sex robot. Brian envisions a future in which non-reproductive sex happens primarily with robots, which he believes will lead to human sexual relationships to be relegated to just the engine that drives population growth. He says that sex being turned into an act of pleasure has done significant harm since he believes society is not built for that.
No. No. No.
What? That hair is red! How dare you, sir! Mutiny! Sir? Did you just pick blue hair over red? How dare you! And there's even a red-haired woman in the video. By the way, he bought a new doll recently, according to his ex account. So I wonder what the hell he's doing with that. Phil, you better get ready. Maybe I should talk to Phil about this stuff. We can see if we can't integrate all this shit together. Have the waifu robots rolling out. I know y'all want that. I mean, I do. It's not that I'm not getting talked to by women. The fact is, the more the women are hitting on me, the more I'm wanting a robot. It's weird, right? It's like, I don't want it. It's like, you're trying to push me. And the thing is, some of them are really good people, but I'm just like, I don't want the extra hassle. You know, I'm 40 now. And I'm just like, I'd rather have the robot. It just seems like a lot easier, not as much hassle. I just want something that can do things, not something I have to put up with a lot of stress and drama and extra shit, right? So he says non-reproductive sex is important because of intimacy and connection. Licensed marriage, family, therapist told Decrypt, there's an incredible part of wellness and understanding ourselves that comes with healthy, consensual, exploratory relationships. Restructuring society aside, Brian also believes that Orpheus can be used as a tool for self-improvement and envisions a wide spectrum of apps that target improving different elements of someone's personality. Perhaps this could help boost the person's confidence and encourage them to talk to a woman in real life. Best case scenario is that all the wonderful humans who are a little bit nervous can push through shame or embarrassment. We could create really beautiful boldness and freedom. But at its worst, they could be created by people who don't really know the best practices. Daguerre specifically names Tate as a concerning figure to build one of these training tools. This is literally why you need clinicians and people who understand emotions in the room training AI to wave red flags, he finished. Like, if someone goes too deep in this, the AI saying, what the fuck, get that out of my ass, are they going to say shit like that? So there you go, guys. That's what we have to talk about today on the Grim Articles show. It's been a very AI show, and we'll probably make this not safe for work because of just a couple of videos. But all right, guys, I'll see you next time. I'm out. Later.